Women's Shear Sunday afternoon, Chayvus Halvavus, the third shear of the synopsis of Shar HaTeshuvah. It's Chav Vav Elul, I believe. I may be off by what Sunday. Rosh Hashanah is Thursday, so Wednesday is Chav Tes, Tuesday is Chav Ches, Monday is Chav Zion. Yes, today is Chav Vav. Chav Vav Elul, and the third shear in Shar HaTeshuvah. No text, try not to fall asleep. If you're not following in the text, I will also try not to fall asleep. And so we're learning Shar HaTeshuvah, the Chayvus Halvavus. The first chapter, this is really Chayvus Halvavus style. Those who have learned Chayvus Halvavus with me, or maybe even on their own, are used to the style. Chapter 1 is a definition of Tshuva. He defines it. Restoring yourself to Avodas Hashem. So we said, we talked about that first day, that, you know, the very fact that you're stopping to do Averis and you're back on track is not really something to do with Tshuva. It just has to do with the fact that you don't get a free pass to do Averis. I mean, you can't keep doing Averis just because you did it once. But the idea is that you have some sort of flaw. You're not really, he says it's a function of Kaniya. It's a function of submission to Hashem. You don't really feel the way you should, that you're a servant of Hashem and that you are here to do the will of Hashem in this world. Why should you do the will of Hashem? That we got to go back to Shara Avodas Elokim for, and we're not going there, or we'll never get out of it today. But it has to do with Hakaras HaTov. It has to do with recognizing what Hashem does for us. So he says that's what the definition of tshuva is, restoring yourself as an Oved Hashem. Maybe you have to go an extra mile because you gotta fix up. He gives the mashal of food. If you're just not eating the right food, so you can start eating the right foods. But if you've eaten something detrimental to your health, it's not enough to start eating the right foods. You have to get it out of your system. So that's his mashal. And okay, that's in chapter 1. Chapter 2 talks about different levels of tshuva. There will be a person that will pay lip service to tshuva. It'll say Hashamnu, it'll be banging away, but it won't be worth much. And he describes that person, and he describes someone who will do tshuva, but will keep slipping. And then the ideal tshuva, obviously, is that the person strengthens himself or herself, and at least theoretically won't slip again. I mean, you might slip again, but that'll be a chiddush. Like the Rambam says about tshuva, someone that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could testify that he's not going to do the Avera again, which is like, oh, that doesn't happen, usually. And the answer is, he means where he's holding now, he's not going to do the Avera again. He might slip, but right now he's in a good place. The second level in chapter 2 is the person even now is not in a good place. You win some, you lose some. You know, and he'll do tshuva and he'll even mean it. But he hasn't really strengthened himself the way he ought to guard against the same thing happening again. And the third level, it's like really, okay, he's in a good place. He might end up slipping again, but that'll be a chiddush. That'll be a hischatshus. That'll be, you know, he's born anew now, but then he could, you know, it could happen again. It might happen again. And it's not a steer to Hashem saying he won't sin again. He means he, the person, Ba'asher Husham, as he is now. Chapter 3 talks about the 7 things you have to realize in order to be able to be Chazer B'tshuva. Realizing 7 things about that you sinned, how disgraceful it is to sin. He talks about things like you have to understand that there's an onesh for sinning, and so on and so forth. The 7 things in the 3rd chapter. The 4th perek talks, analyzes and dissects the components of tshuva. Again, this is a very early work, the Chayvus Halvavus. So he maybe was very, 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 this is before Bnei Yonah, before the Rambam, before anybody. So he puts it down as charata, as azivas hachet, vidui, and kniya. He puts kniya together with vidui, meaning vidui is not just, you know, chatosya visi pashati, but it's the Chayvus Halvavos, the lave of a submission to Hashem, where you're begging for forgiveness. Part of vidui is being mispalel to Hashem to forgive you. And again, if you can't say I sinned, You know, when you apologize to someone, it's hard to say, I was wrong. It's hard to say, vidui. Even if you come to the realization that you're wrong in your heart and in your mind, but to go to the other person and say, I was wrong, and as I say, I was wrong, period. Not I was wrong, but, and I was wrong because, and I was wrong due to, and I was wrong, but you were also wrong. And, yeah, we all know the story, but to say I was wrong, period, is sometimes very wrenching and difficult. So you have to do that with Hashem. That's why you have to speak out the vidui. Because to think, you know, I sinned is maybe easier. Here's a case where saying it, talking to Hashem, Ono Hashem, Chatosi, Avisi, Poshati, and again, if you're thinking what you mean, and you're imagining that you're standing in front of Hashem, Ono Hashem, like, talking to him, and you're saying, I sinned, period, it should be wrenching as well. And of course, Kabbalah ala Osid, where you're determined not to do it again, but not just determined, like, okay, I'm gonna be good from now on. Can I have that piece of cake, please? But you've taken steps to ensure that it won't happen again. It's real. So the four components are in chapter Dalid, and in chapter Hey, he further analyzes, this is Mamash's Derech, and he takes apart each of the four components, and he splits them up into five aspects, five ways of fulfilling each component. So you end up with 20 things that are part of the tshuva, part of the tshuva process, one would say. And again, that's for complete tshuva, to achieve kaporas averas, to achieve fixing the flaw, to achieve a kapora, a mechila, etc. I'll go over chapter 6 ba'al peh, even though we did it already, and chapter 6 really talks about how you would be nisorer to do tshuva, meaning, you're not going to do it on your own. You need a kick in the pants, or in the skirt, or whatever. Kick in the dress, or kick in the skirt. You need something to be ma'orer you, to inspire you to do tshuva. That's all it means. You need something to inspire you to do tshuva. You realize the seven things of chapter 3, but you still need something to spur you on. So he talks about there are four ways to do that, and there are different madregas. The first one is to come to it on your own. Think about it, and he says, I want you to think about, and here he goes into Shar Avodas Elokim and Shar HaBechina. I want you to think about how much chesed. You think about it yourself. You say, look what Hashem showers me with. Look what I have in my life. And as we know from Shar HaBechina, we're not talking about if I'm rich or if I have every dream I ever had for the way I want my life to run. But it means things like I can breathe and I can think and I can talk and I live in Eretz Yisrael and I have a roof over my head and my spleen works, etc., etc. So there's what we say in Nishmas, Ein Anachem Maspikim L'Holdos L'Cha Hashem Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoseinu Alachas Mei Olef Alfei Alofen V'Ribei Revolos Pamim Atavos She'osisim Avoseinu V'Imanu, and it goes through the whole litany, Ki Chol Pe L'Cha Yode V'Chol Hashon L'Cha Tishava L'Chol Berech L'Cha Sichra. It's endless. There's no end. So you realize that, and you go, "Wow!" And all he's asking me to do is to acknowledge him. That's what we learned in Shara Vodas Elokim, and you know, not to violate what he wants. So that's, and he says that would be like a servant who runs away from the master, and then on his own realizes that he's pretty foolish. And he wants to be by the master. The master takes care of him. The master, you know, the master takes care of all his needs. And it's good to be by the master. So that's number one. Number two is that you take to heart Hashem's, the Musar that Hashem sends you. And he says a very interesting thing. Everybody, Hashem sends, everybody has someone. You have a Rebbe, a Rebbetzin, a mentor, a good friend. Everyone's life has someone. They can choose to ignore that person, but no one could say, I don't have anyone, no one ever. You do. Yeah, maybe it's a roommate. Everyone gets assigned to them a buddy. That's what he says. Hashem sends everyone a buddy or a mentor to keep them honest, that they can take advantage of. Again, you have to take advantage of it. You can't say, oh, you know, you don't want to, maybe, but you should. Everyone has that person, and that's the second his orus, the tshuva. A second inspiration is if someone spurs you to do it. It could be a Navi talking to the whole Klal Yisrael. It could be hearing a Musa Shmuz. It could be hearing a Drasha. It could be one-on-one. However it is, it's there in your life. And Hashem, if that's what you need, it's not the greatest thing in the world. The greatest thing in the world is to reach the realization on your own. But if you're not holding there, Hashem will send you a message through a Navi, he says, through the Gadol Hador, through a Rebbe, through a Rav, through a mentor. And so that's how you'll be inspired to do tshuva. And he says, every door has this. He says, that's what when the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, Yeshua was in charge. And before Eli went off the scene, Shmuel HaRamosi was on the scene. And before Eliyahu went away, Elisha was there. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Donosi. That's all. He says the inner meaning of that Gemara is that Hashem doesn't leave a generation or a person bereft of good influences, bereft of someone that really teaches us what we have to know. There are no excuses. Hashem makes sure. And sometimes you find, you know, in every door to someone you go, and everybody, you know, as we get older, as I get older, you ladies stay young, I don't know how you do it, but as I get older, you go, oh man, like this person was Nifter, what's the next door going to do? And someone always pops up. Someone is there and takes that, you know, takes the lead in leading Klal Yisrael and leading a Kehila and leading even again one person. You get a good chevrusa. You meet someone that you feel will be a good influence on you. Someone you can talk to, etc. That's the second way. And he says that's like a servant that ran away from a master and can't on his own reach the realization that he should get back and stop this nonsense, but he meets another servant who had run away. And that's how he says it in his mashal, and he says, well, what are you doing? You know, this is wrong. Take it from me, you're making a big mistake, and so on. The third is that you see things happening to other people. Till now it was like words. Now you need something sharper, maybe. And the third type is if you maybe you need a, as I say, someone else got kicked in the pants. And you look at that and you say, wow, this can happen to me. There's no reason why it doesn't happen to me. Look what happens to people. I better shape up. This is what happens to people. This is similar to something he says in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh that we learned. But there he put it more in terms of Hakaras HaTov. I say, wow, it didn't happen to me. Look what could happen to people and it didn't happen to me. Here he wants you to use it as a spur to do tshuva. And says, look what could happen to people and it could happen to me as well. And, you know, Hashem is giving me some breathing space to do tshuva. So that's the third type. And this is when the servant sees a different servant run away and get punished for doing so. And he watches, you know, like the mother that tells the Rebbe, please, you know, my kid's very sensitive, please don't smack him if he's bad, smack the kid next to him and he'll get scared, he'll shape up. That was a joke. That was number three. And the fourth type, he says, is if Hashem has to punish you. Me. You. Nothing else helps. And you take what's happening to you as Hashem waking you up. Hashem never punishes in the mundane sense. We also should not punish our children in that sense, you know, in the sense of, I'm taking the comma from you, I'm going to punish you. It should always be a lesson. It should always be for the purpose of making them better. And you see, say, well, of course, that's why I'm hitting him. I'm not just beating up my child. But if you keep that in mind, then the whole tone will be different, or maybe the amount will be different, or maybe how you do it will be different. If you keep in mind that all you're doing is teaching him, maybe he needs this lesson. Not always do words help. Sometimes you need the patch. This tape, I get arrested now. If you're not allowed a patch, it'll be law, so of course you shouldn't patch. Right? Okay. But, I think Taka in Israeli law, you're not allowed to hit your kid anymore. I think certainly Rabbeim can't hit their kids anymore. So what? You're not allowed to. It's trouble. The Chadarim attribute rightly or wrongly, there are chadarim which attribute the seeming growing magefa of ADD and ADHD because kids are not scared anymore of being punished, so they used to correct themselves and like work hard at focusing and concentrating, and they don't bother doing that anymore because they're not afraid of punishment. So take that as a mean. We'll discuss it some other time. Not everyone, obviously, not every kid, but if you're a borderline case, they feel it used to be you corrected yourself, you worked hard, and you focus. Now they don't. That's what some, okay. If it's about that, let me.
No, about number three, about looking at other people.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Okay, so you mentioned that you're not
Obviously, he's not talking about making a judgment. He's talking about you're taking it to heart and you're using it as an inspiration to get better. Why Hashem's cheshbon is with that? That person you don't have to know, and you don't know, and you can't know, and you should be aware that you can't know. Very correct. But you could use it as such. Look what can happen to a person. You know, it could even be done to the person with kapskos, and if it's happening to him, and I'm sure it's not a punishment with him because he's a great person. She's a great lady, so I'm sure it's not a punishment by her. But and still, it's happening, right? That you know, when Nadav and Avihu died the first day of the Mishkan, so who Asher Dibur Hashem beKrovei Hakodesh Val Pnei Kol Ami Kovei. Rashi says that when tzaddikim, when bad things happen to tzaddikim, people are supposed to take it as a reason to fear Hashem. To say it's not so posh, I gotta shape up. So these are the four, this is the whole sixth parak. These four types of inspiration that inspire someone to do tshuva. So obviously the best one is the first, because she or he reaches that realization on their own. The second way is they have to be yelled at, be spoken to. The third way is even less, where someone had to have actually suffered. And the fourth way is the least of all, where you have to have been suffered before you will do tshuva and show remorse and Kabbalah and all the things you have to do. So that's number six, that there's four ways to be inspired to do tshuva. And they are at different levels. And you know, what are we learning that for? To realize that we should really reach this understanding and realization on our own, and if we can't, so we use an azer to reach it. Number seven talks about specific things that are ma'akev tshuva, that block tshuva. Obviously, what's gonna block tshuva is if you don't do the things in the previous prakas, so that's going to block your ability to do tshuva. Here he means like particular things that are maybe small and you wouldn't think would be a problem. For example, if he says, if you think that a certain sin is small, you know, sometimes we catch ourselves saying, yeah, okay, you know, I'll do it, but I'm sure Hashem will understand. I had to move that muktzah. I had to yell at my spouse. I had to yell at my sibling. I had to do this. I had to do that. I had to miss a davening. You know, I'm sure Hashem will understand. So, I don't know. Maybe he will understand, or maybe, as we say, the saying goes, maybe he'll understand only too well, which won't make you too happy about that. Hashem does care about us. So that's one thing that would be makif tshuva, if we minimize what we do. So it's hard to do a tshuva. It's a block. If I do a certain sin many times, so it's an exponential increase in the difficulty of doing tshuva. You do it once, you do it twice, it becomes habitual, and you just find yourself doing it, and you don't know how to break out of it, and you're just caught up in it. And he gives a mashal of a cord of string that when you double it over and double it over and double it over, it becomes very, very strong. So if you do what indeed might be a trivial sin, but you do it many, many times, so that will be a block.
Another one is someone that says Echta V'ashuv. I think we're familiar with that phrase. You know, I'll do what I need to do, what I feel I need to do, and I'll do tshuva tomorrow by Yom Kippur, by Ne'ilah. You know, I'll do tshuva, so that you're not going to be able to do tshuva. You won't. What that means is it's not an onesh. It's not meant as an onesh. Maybe some learn it's an onesh, but the pashtus is that it's not an onesh. It's the reality. You're not going to be able to reach the place where you have to reach if the sin is just not serious. You know, you can't snap your fingers and have an attitude towards sin, violating the will of Hashem. That's what it is, sin. Violating the will of Hashem. If you don't have a serious attitude towards it, it's, you know, you can't really pick up on it. So if you just say, you know, I'll do tshuva later in life or before Yom Kippur, you know, that's an ikuf to tshuva. It's not going, because you're not going to be able to get to that place where it's a reprehensible thing you did, thinking that you know, when you get older, now there's an expression, you're sowing your wild oats, and when you get older you'll calm down and you'll have time to a man will have time to learn. After he finishes working and gets his pension, he'll have time to learn. And a woman will have time once the nest is a little emptier. So that's also ma'akif to tshuva, if you just keep pushing off what you're supposed to be doing now. Maybe you're not supposed to be doing anything now, if you can't. That's the end in itself. But you can't just be pushing things off. That's the sign of someone in spiritual trouble. And this is really the Gemara, Shuv Yomecha Lefnei Misoscha. You never know what tomorrow brings, and therefore you have to do tshuva, because maybe tomorrow Shema Yomus Lamacha, the Gemara says. So why doesn't it say Shema Yomus Hayom? I talked about that. That's like a question I always had. Why does it say Shema Yomus Lamacha? Why doesn't it say Shema Yomus Hayom? It's pretty... So I answer, maybe tongue-in-cheek, maybe not, that Chazal don't expect you to say Shema Yomus Hayom, because you, like that, outside, your mind won't wrap itself around that. Today, nah! Like, halavai, the person will think I could die tomorrow, but today, no way, come on, I have a bus to catch. I'm not going anywhere, I'm not dying. And that's what people think. Like, that's what, I mean, that's one thing I've answered myself. That today is like too much to ask. So Chazal will be happy if you think you'll die, a person will die tomorrow, and that'll spur you on to do tshuva. Maybe you'll think of a different answer. There are different answers. I was collecting answers once. But the Chavis Avodah says that you have to prepare for this eternal journey you're going to be taking. Here he waxes poetic at the end of this perek, and he says you have to, as they say, you have to prepare yourself for that journey, for that eternal journey, and every day is its own entity, and don't think you can just skip today and you'll be better tomorrow. All these things are blocks to doing tshuva. Another block he mentions is to do tshuva for some averus and say, you know, that's all I can handle, you know, but the other averus I'll keep doing it. So terrible attitude. That's not really tshuva, right? You're either there or you're not there. You're either going to do tshuva, you're either going to be sorry and regret everything you do wrong, because you're going against the will of Hashem and anything you do wrong. But if you start picking and choosing, then that's not tshuva, and that's a ma'akev to tshuva, in fact. Again, because if you're not beset with the seriousness of the sin, you just won't be able to do what it takes to take tshuva. The tshuva that Chazal describes in Perek Dalet and Perek Hey is very deep in one's gut. It's very wrenching. It's very deep. It's rethinking, you know, certain premises I have in life, rethinking my actions. Do I really believe this? Do I really hold of this? What do I think about this? And what's my value system? He wants a very fundamental... When he talks about tshuva and perek dalet and perek hey, the four components and the five aspects of each component, he's like very, very serious. You know, it's very deep. It's a complete self-analysis of a person's chaton, really taking himself apart, seeing what his chait is due to, and realizing A, B, C, D, E, five parts to each component. So if you just do tshuva on some of your sins, but you're okay with others, that's not real tshuva, and you won't be able to do real tshuva. So that's what chapter 7 is about. Chapter 8 is very interesting. Very interesting parak. Who's bigger, a tzaddik or a baal tshuva? Who's a bigger person? So, good old Chavis Halvavis says there's three types. There's the baal tshuva that's greater than the tzaddik, there's the baal tshuva that's the same as the tzaddik, and then there's the baal tshuva that's on a lower madriga than the tzaddik. So how do you get on line? Which line should you get onto? And that's what this parak's about. And, you know, so the first kind is that they're the same. Is, you know, you do averus, you neglect to do mitzvahs, and you do proper tshuva, so you will see. We'll see the contrast in a moment. And so then you're the same as the tzaddik who never sinned. So here you did proper tshuva, you did sin, you did proper tshuva. Proper tshuva is oker, the avera retroactively. It's like you never sinned, so you're basically on the same madriga as the person who indeed never sinned. Sin, you did proper tshuva. The second kind, the someone is more superior. The person that's superior to the tzaddik is a person. This is like almost ironic. The person whose sins were deeper. And in order for him to do tshuva, has to go to a deeper place within himself and expose himself to Hashem more and commune with Hashem more. And it's a more, as I say, wrenching experience. He has to go deeper. Because his avera is deeper, he has to go deeper. And, as I said in the first year, he actually finds himself becoming closer to Hashem through this process of tshuva more than he would have otherwise, and more than the tzaddik who never sinned, because he underwent this experience. And this is what we know, the Gemara calls it tshuva me'ava, and averus nasin kizchuyos, because what he ends up doing, of course if you plan this, it doesn't work, but what ends up, because that's the wrong attitude, but if you end up doing tshuva me'ava, then you actually, the reality is that your sins became a stepping stone to further deepen your avodas Hashem, and they are transformed and they become schuyos. Again, you can't plan this. If you plan it, obviously it's hypocrisy, and it's worse than hypocrisy. What's worse than that? You won't really be doing tshuva. Again, tshuva is deep. You got to go over. You want to know what tshuva is? Learn over the fourth and fifth perek. And you know, we didn't learn it inside. He talks about crying. He talks about fasting. He talks about things that we wouldn't dream of doing. Probably. But it shows you how deep it is. You're like, I rebelled against Hashem. Like, why am I breathing still? Why am I seeing still? Why am I thinking still? I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed from Hashem. So, this is really ironic. The deeper the sin is, and in order to do a proper tshuva, you have to go deeper into yourself, into your psyche, into who you are, what you represent, what your values are. You have to go to a deeper place and fix that up. When you do that, you're talking going to be closer to Hashem than you would have been ordinarily, and that such a person could even be more superior to a tzaddik, someone who never sinned. Obviously, we're talking like, because of the work that the person is doing on himself or herself, they're mamish lifting themselves up more than they would have otherwise been capable of. It's something like we learned in one of the Cheshbonos in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh, where he talks about the process of, Avodas Hashem, and he says you reach a certain madrega. He's not talking about tshuva there, but if you remember, we learned, he says the way to grow is you take one step up the ladder. Don't take two, you're going to fall. Take one step up the ladder, do that till you can do it by rote, till you can do it with your hands tied behind your back. until you can do it without thinking. It's not a nesayon anymore. I'm going to wake up every morning, you know, and I'm going to come to shul. I'm talking like a man, sorry. I'm going to come to shul, and, you know, for 15 minutes before davening, and I'm going to think about davening, because I heard that Malinus was a great drush at the Shabbos, and I'm going to think about that for 15 minutes. And so you do that, and do it for a week, and for a month, and for 2 months, 3 months, till you're doing it, it's not a nesayon anymore. Yeah. Then, once it's in place that you can do it almost by rote, not really by rote, because then it's of no value, obviously. Till you can do it without a nesayon, that's what I'm sure he means, till you can do it without a nesayon, then you gotta go on to the next step on the ladder. You can't stay on this step, that's not good. You don't want to stay stagnant, you want to grow. So that's how you grow. You take one step at a time. So that's really what this is here. I mean, there he's not talking about tshuva. He's just talking about that process where a person, you know, reaches a certain plateau and then he grows again, a plateau, and then grows, and it's limitless. I mean, Avodas Hashem is limitless. So here also, when he's talking about tshuva, he's talking about like really, really steiging and growing from this process of going deep into oneself, as per Perek Dalet and Perek Hay. And, you know, so the deeper you went, you know, it's like the probably similar to something physical. The deeper the body malfunctions, so then you have to work on the body to heal it. So you probably the body has to become stronger than it was before in order to fight what happened to it. So that's the second kind. So that person will be is superior. So there's some balei tshuva who are the same as tzaddikim. There's some balei tshuva who are superior to tzaddikim. And there's some balei tshuva that tzaddikim I missed an important point. He adds another point. Not only what I said till now, that by working on yourself you become closer to Hashem that you would have ordinarily in this, but he says something, a fascinating insight into human character. Mamish. Wow. It's mamish deep. You gotta believe the Chayes HaVavos. Very deep insight. He says the Baal Tshuva will always be true Tshuva. He'll be an onov, because he'll be a broken person because of what he did. So he's broken. You're not going to find the true Baal Tshuva that's a Baal Gaiva. I did Tshuva and you didn't. Ha ha ha. You're not going to find that. A tzaddik, he says, this is so fat. A tzaddik was good. He doesn't sin. He never sinned. He has more of a danger of becoming haughty, of becoming Gaivadik, of being complacent, hypocritical, looking for people to compliment him. The Baal Tshuva walks around with one head, you know, turned with his head over his shoulder, looking if people are laughing at him, looking if people are mocking him. He's an onov. By nature, he will be an onov. The tzaddik is and he talks about this as a reason a Baal Tshuva can be on a bigger madrega than a tzaddik. A tzaddik has never been tested yet for gaiva, and he can become a Baal Gaiva tomorrow. I never sinned, I'm a tzaddik. Look how good I am. And you start wanting people to notice you. You know. And you probably cover it up with a frum cheshbin that they'll learn from you. But there's a natural anova, anivus, that a Baal Tshuva will have, and a tzaddik might not have that. That's really interesting. Yeah. That's probably, again, we're talking about Cholus Halvavus now. We're not talking about being on a stage. If a Baal Tshuva finds himself or herself thinking that way, it probably is a flaw in their tshuva. They don't realize what they did. And you're not going to feel that way when you realize that you rebelled against Hashem and you just climbed out of the muck. But he says that a tzaddik, you know, an apocryphal story, which Chayes HaLavos is full of, He says a tzaddik once asked his students, you know, if you're completely free of sin, then I have something for you to worry about that's worse than a sin. Come again? If you feel yourself completely free of sin, then I have something for you to worry about that's worse than a sin. What's that, they asked him? Gaiva. 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 That's worse than a sin. I mean, obviously it's a sin also, but right? That's what you should worry about. If you feel yourself without sin, start worrying about being a Baal Gaiva. So that's, again, that's another angle in which a Baal Tshuva could be a greater person than a tzaddik. Yeah.
What about people who don't know what we call Baal Tshuvas? They know nothing about Yiddishkeit and then become...
Yeah, they're not really Baal Tshuvas. Really, they don't deserve the name. They're not Baal Tshuvas. They're tzaddikim. They never really sinned. They didn't know. And now they're learning and they become good. We call them Baal Tshuva because we want to not do a shidduch with them. So we have to give them a name. We have to give them a name. But the truth is, technically, they're not Baal Tshuva because what they did were not really Averis. But again, it's a name that's stuck and it sits in good. You have BT and you have FFB. So it's good shorthand. But indeed, they're not the Baal Tshuva that we're talking about. Okay, and a third, when a person really... Sometimes a person does a more serious avera, says the Chavis Alavas, maybe one of Kares, or Chil Hashem, and it's not enough to do tshuva, but he has to be cleansed of his chet through Yisurim, maybe through Misa. This is detailed by the Gemara, that sometimes you need something as serious as that to cleanse the person from the chet. So obviously, till that happens, even the Baal Tshuva will be on a lower madrega than the tzaddik if he sinned the type of sin that really sullies the neshama to a degree that it needs these things to cleanse it. Okay, so that's the ninth perek. I'm sorry, the eighth perek. The eighth perek talks about this relationship between the tzaddik and the Baal Tshuva. Because we know, Bogam Shalom, Chuvayim the main tzaddik yachalamo. Chavis Alavos says there's three types. There's one type where they're basically the same, one type where the Baal Tshuva is superior, and one type where the tzaddik is indeed superior. Chapter 9 talks about if you can you do tshuva from any sin? Right? Are there any rules? Anything you did, you can do tshuva on? So he says, no, you can't. You can't do tshuva on Ben Odom Achavero if you didn't right the wrong that you did to your fellow man. If you didn't give back the Gneva, if he wasn't Michael you, if he moved away, and you don't know where he is, and you cheated, and now you don't know where he is, you don't know how much he cheated, and that's a problem. He says, not always can you point to tshuva as a magic wand. Sometimes if you killed someone, you got a problem. You can't bring the person back to life. So that's always a problem that's out there. Benodo Machavero, he says, needs something more than just tshuva, because the avla that was done has an effect. So Hashem, you know, Hashem is Hashem. So when Benodo Machavero, Hashem is Mochel, and he's... But Benodo Machavero... It's a problem. You have to attain mechila. You have to get the person to be mochel. You have to ask him for forgiveness. You have to make restitution. If you slandered someone, if you messed someone up, you have to try to restitute them, try to make good, make them whole again, as we call it. And then you ask them for forgiveness. So it's not so simple that you can just do two of anything. You probably can't. I'm sorry?
Someone in your family called
about a Benadam. You better believe it. Yes.
Is that
I'm sorry?
Is it talk about that anywhere? Like, is there a difference between a family member?
Yeah, the difference is that we're more apt to violate another machavera with family members, unfortunately, than with others. We're nicer to others than, I don't know about you, but I am. Nicer to others than we are to members of our family, and we're the worst our spouses. And sometimes to our children. Now that I depressed everyone, we're going to finish with chapter 10, where the Chavis HaLolos makes the most amazing promise in the world. He makes a promise. I don't know if anyone either. I never heard, no one ever came to me and said that the promise was not kept. He makes an amazing promise. He says, okay, what did I just tell you in the last chapter? I explained to you why you can't really do tshuva for certain averis. I didn't say all them. The main one is the menodim lachavero. So what are we going to do? Is there no hope? He wants to leave you with a cheerful note. He makes a promise. Amazing, amazing. He says, if you do proper tshuva, again, I refer you back to chapter 4 and 5. It's not easy. If you do everything you can, and all that's missing is the guy moved away to North Carolina, and you can't ask him to be nice with you because he didn't leave a forwarding address. And you insulted him, or her. And, you know, you don't know where they are. I promise you, says the Chavis HaLolos, you do complete tshuva, and Hashem is going to work things out. How? Well, maybe you're going to come to Israel for Sukkot, and you're going to bump into him by the Kaisel, and you'll have a chance to ask him for Mechila. Maybe one night he'll say to Yerotzim before Hamapil, and he'll think of you, and he'll be Mechil you for what you did. Because he'll think of you, you know, before Hamapil, you say to Yerotzim. Hashem, he's a person has a mamzer, the mamzer will die. Hashem is going to take care of things. You do yours. And he makes this promise, like amazing. He'll change the person's mood. He'll think of you kindly. He'll decide to be meichel you. And that's a promise he makes. He moves away. And I say, he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael for Sukkot. And you're going to meet him. Say, oh, I can't believe I met you. Maybe Hashem will put you in a position. The Gemara says this. Sometimes if you steal from Tzibur and you don't know who, what, when, how much, you'll contribute to public works and achieve kapara that way because you're helping the general public. So Hashem will put you in a position where you'll build a bridge, where you'll donate money maybe to a shul, and you'll help a tzibur, a rabbin, and that person will end up benefiting from it. Maybe him, maybe her, maybe their grandchildren will benefit from it. It's like, it's spooky, it's amazing, it's mystical, metaphysical. He says, Hashem is going to take care of you. Hashem is going to work things out. Yes, it's impossible. Chapter 9, you're stuck. What are you going to do? I promise you, if you do proper mechila, maybe he'll die, you owe him money. Hashem's going to put you in touch with the Yorushim, and you're going to give his Yorushim the money. You insulted him in public, you're going to find out that he died, and you're going to go to his kever with the 10 people. Hashem will make sure that you do have an opportunity to overcome this obstacle to the Chavis HaLolos that I placed in front of you in chapter 9. That's the first half of chapter 10, what I just said. The Chavis HaLolos has promised us. The end of chapter 10 is really just saying, come on guys, gals, do tshuva. You're foolish if you don't. The gates of tshuva are never closed. Don't get depressed, no matter, you know. Again, the people who are tinnik shenishbos, they don't have so much of a worry. The real people who are worried are people who are aware, you know, knowledgeable, and you know, they, do averis. But don't worry. You know, calm down. Be optimistic. Just don't say, oh, I didn't realize it was a chait. Stay away from that. Admit your guilt. Think things through. Right? Chapter 4 or 5, maybe you have to think through chapter 3 again. Realize the 7 things. Things through. Okay. The gates are always open. Hurry while it's still open, and you're still around, and you can do tshuva. But realize that Hashem, right, we say by Ne'ilo, there's some very, very beautiful. The tefillah we say by Ne'ilah, how Hashem wants us to do tshuva and he doesn't want us to remain mired in chait. And, you know, he's there for you and he wants you to. He wants you to appease him. He wants you to better your ways. He wants only what's good for you. That we know, right? You know, he wants what's good for us. So take advantage of this Pesach he made for tshuva. And he allowed us to climb back into where we're supposed to be. Okay? Thank you, Mrs. Knoll.